give me 15 minutes, I promise you, I'll preach you into the glory. I want to preach to you from a subject that I'll be preaching from all month called Live. Live. One of the biggest difficulties of the 21st century Christian is going to be, and has been, to learn how to live. Because the 21st century Christian is always trying to live a life of their own. When you accepted Christ, you decided at the entry level that your life that you were living was not sufficient. And so you laid your life down to pick his life up. I can see where this is going. That concept in past years was shallow in its definition, because to lay your life down meant in the neo-Pentecostal world that you didn't have a life. You hear what I'm saying? So in other words, you didn't go out and enjoy yourself, because any of those things were going to lead to ungodliness. And so you had to keep it tight. That's why you was in church all day. But they soon came to realize that being in church all day is not going to stop you from battling and dealing with the stuff that's in your life. Come on, stay with me. And so there's an answer to that problem. But the answer is not, as we step into the 21st century, this grace that allows us to live any kind of way that we want to without being responsible to the faith we say we profess. Y'all not in here with me. And so it should convict you in your spirit when your life doesn't look like Christ. And conviction is a word that you don't ever hear in church any longer. And so I'm going to preach to you this morning. Don't worry, it is a good word, I promise you. I'm going to preach to you this morning from the topic, live differently. A different life. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, Isaiah 55, verse 1 to verse 3. And you're going to catch this by the Spirit. Hallelujah. I promise you that. So Isaiah 55, glory to God. Verse 1 to verse 3. If you have it, say amen. Amen. And the word of God says, ho. Now, that's not the word that you think it is. Look at your neighbor and say, please smile. Give your face a break, baby. Come on, it's all right. In other words, the Bible is saying, listen, pay attention. It is an announcement that something is about to be requested of you. It's an invitation to something. So it's saying, listen, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, that he that has no money, come buy, eat. Come buy wine, milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Listen diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight in fatness. That word fatness It should probably be an asterisk in your Bible or a number. And if it's nothing there, just underline it, if you will. And if you don't have a pen to do it because you're standing up, underline it in your mind. That word fatness means abundance. It doesn't mean extra weight in your body. Come on, somebody. It means abundance. So I'm going to read it again because I want you to get this. It says, let your soul delight itself in abundance. Verse 3 is where we want to end up. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I want to preach to you from the subject, A Different Life. Father, I thank for you, the word of the living God. I thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us that it changes our very nature, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. I know in our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you have your way. You're already here. You've been here all morning long. Do whatever you want. Just don't let us leave the same. Let this word change us by your power, and we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. Your grace shout amen. Come on, I know I'm rushing, but you got time to turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on, show them how pretty you are, even if you got missing links. Come on, somebody, and say, a different life, a different life, a different life. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. If you will, our church is called Kingdom Life Church. And many people always think that the emphasis is on kingdom, but the emphasis is really on life. And the reason that the emphasis is on life is because there's a message that God gave me. I can't preach it in here. I can only preach it in the new building. And so whenever we get the new building, you'll see me preach this message about the life that I'm talking about. The reason that I can't preach it in here is because when I heard that message and when God gave it to me, I was standing in that building. And so you're going to have to be patient enough to wait for that. But I can promise you, whenever I do preach it, you're going to need your running shoes on. So the emphasis of this church is really on life. And that life that God has given us is a life of abundance. John 10:10 lets us know that, as the Lord says, that he was the good shepherd. He goes on to say, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Isaiah as a book itself, it's not complicated, it's not difficult, it's broken up into two sections, just like your Bible, Old and New Testament, if you will, but it has that same sort of dichotomy in its context. And so from first chapter to the 39th chapter, it's dealing all with judgment. But after the 39th chapter, when you get into the 40th chapter, on down to the last part of Isaiah, you're dealing with hope. And so the beginning of the book starts off with God's judgment, but the end of the book ends off with God's hope. And the reason it does this is because God has no intention. He has no want to really see people suffer. For the Bible says he wishes that none should perish. He put himself on record and told Israel, I have set all of heaven and earth to record against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then he gives them the multiple choice answer and says, choose life. Look at your name and say, choose life, choose life. God, when we get into the higher parts of Isaiah, we find ourselves in the context of him laying out the format for the hope that God wants to give Israel. The reason why he wants to do this is because you have to understand the historical context is that these people were going to be captured in an assault of a different nation coming against them. And when they would return to their homeland, they would no longer be a nation. They would no longer be the nation of Israel. They would just be a people that dwell in the outposts of city states. In other words, they would no longer have the distinction in their life that they were God's nation. And so this went on for years, all the way up until 1949, until Israel was declared a nation. And so you have to understand that now Isaiah sees the glimpse of the future and what God has in store for his people, but he has to deal with the mindset of the folk, because the folk does not have the capacity to see how God is going to bring all of this around to work for their good. And so he deals with the concept of judgment, because Israel knew that their hearts was in a sinful state. They knew it was the condition of their heart that got them into the captivity in the first place. But what they did not realize is that the God that they serve was not bent on giving them what they deserve, but rather giving them what he wanted them to have. Aren't you grateful this morning that God doesn't give you what you deserve? Because if he gave you what you deserve, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. Look at your neighbor and say, he is talking good to me. Yes, he is. If you really think about, and I don't have time to deal with it for a long time, but if you really think about the sentences you should have got, the incidents that should have happened to you, the mishaps that should have did you wrong, the mistakes that you made that should have set you back 10 or 20 years, but you are sitting here today in your right mind, clothed in some good church garment, giving God praise and glory, when you should be out in the world somewhere and nobody probably should even know your name. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, thank God for his grace and his mercy. Part of the problem of your salvation life is that you forget how far God has brought you from. Because you think you got to be altogether perfect, you don't realize that you're altogether righteous right now at this present moment. You don't have to be altogether perfect, but through Christ Jesus, baby, you are altogether righteous. Stay with me. Stay with me. I promise I'm going to get you somewhere. And so when we open up and see what Isaiah is talking about, we see that he gets a glimpse of the future, but the future is better than the people think. Look at your neighbor. Come on. You're going to do that about 10 more times. And say, the future is better than you think. And so he starts laying out his case for hope. And I'm fast forward now, and we get to Isaiah 53. And when you get to Isaiah 53, he starts showing how the hope is going to arise. And he says the hope is going to come from a place you never thought it was going to come from. For a stem, my God, shall grow out of the root of Jesse. My God, and his name is going to be such a name that you call him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. He's going to be despised and rejected, a man acquainted with griefs and sorrows. The stripes, my God, that they're going to place on his back is going to be for your healing. And he is going to bring about, my God, the purchase price for your peace by taking on the punishment that you should have had in your own life. And so the life he's going to live is going to be a life of sacrifice, and he's going to stand in the gap for you so that you don't have to get what you deserve, but get what God has designated for your life. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, thank God for Jesus. For if it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where I would be. If it wasn't for Christ, I don't know where I would have ended up. But thank God that he sought to save me. Thank God that he pulled me out of the muck and miry clay and established my goings, set my feet upon a rock. Thank God he washed me in his precious blood. Thank God that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, daily praying that my faith don't fail. Thank God he's not giving up on me, so I can't give up on myself. Somebody shout, I'm gonna make it. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're going to have to do. Come on, look at him and say, you're going to have to do right now. And tell him you're going to make it. The reason your neighbor has to do is because you're not faced, my God, in front of a mirror right now. It's not just that you have to tell your neighbor that, you got to tell yourself. that you're going to make it. Come hell or high water, you're going to become everything God called you to be. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know I'm crazy, but I'm going to make it. Can I get some church folk in here that know what I'm talking about? Oh, God, I know I'm messed up, but I'm going to make it. I know I'm hurt, but I'm going to make it. I know I'm bruised, but I'm going to make it. I know I'm blemished, but I'm going to make it. 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 Y'all sit down. Let me finish this thing. And so he gives them the format in Isaiah 53. And then when you get to Isaiah 54, it's really coupled with Isaiah 55. In this true context, Isaiah 54 and Isaiah 55 reflect one another in tone. These are tone chapters. They reflect the assurance that God's promises to restore his people to himself, which he gave it in chapter 49 all the way to chapter 52 and showed how he was going to do it in chapter 53. Now when you get to chapter 54, he brings them back to their reality and he lets them know that you have to understand that this reality of where you are, yes, true, it looks barren. But I have to inform you that in your barren condition, you still have the power to sing your song. This is why in Isaiah 54, it starts off by saying, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Why? Because my reality does not reflect the designation that God has for my life. My reality is the cause of judgment, but my blessing that's ahead of me is the cause of the joy of the Lord that he set before me. Look at your name and say, there's a joy set before you. And to get to that joy, you got to look at the barren and desolate places of your life and sing your song anyway. You got to look at all of the problems and say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Slap your name and say, you better sing your song, yet shall I praise the Lord. I ain't got no help in here. Slap your name and say, I got a song, baby, in my heart, even though my reality says otherwise. When you live this life as a believer, you have to understand that in this world, you will have trouble. Your salvation does not exclude you from any trouble, from any hardship, from any heartache, from any disappointment, and from any setback. As a matter of fact, it brings you to closer contact with the conflict, because it is in the conflict that you will recognize that God is the control in the chaos. You'll begin to understand that he called forth light from darkness. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And so he's comfortable in the dark. Slap your name and say, is your praise comfortable in the dark? Is your praise comfortable when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you fear no evil? Is your praise comfortable when you don't have money to pay your bills? Is your praise comfortable when all hell is breaking loose in your house? Is your praise comfortable when you're sick in your body? Slap your neighbor and say, I'm comfortable in the dark, because my vision will adjust to the surroundings around me and I'll be able to see my way out of the situation. Slap your name and say, my praise is comfortable in the dark, baby. It might be dark, but I got a praise and I got to get it out. Somebody shout hallelujah and just get it out. Not yet. Sit down. Not yet. We gonna get there. Watch this. And so now, are you ready to have your wig twisted? Okay. Look at your name and say, Pastor, twist my wig. Go ahead, twist my wig. If you got a real wig on, I'm not talking about you. In Isaiah 54, he says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear with child. And so Israel is looked at as a disgraced woman, if you will. Because in that time in the ancient Near East, not to be able to have a child was looked at as a disgrace. Mm-hmm. And so he's painting the imagery of Israel as a disgraced woman. And he says, even though you look disgraced, praise God anyway. In Isaiah, you will find, if you will, not only this particular text or commentary, if you will, as a song of praise. As a matter of fact, I had to research it out because I am who I am. And what I found out was that Isaiah wrote, if you will, 4 songs of praise. And in each psalm of praise, if you will, in Isaiah, the first one is Isaiah 42 and 10. It's a song of praise. The next one is Isaiah 49 and 13, song of praise. And the next one is Isaiah 51 and 7, song of praise. And even all of these songs of praise, my God, the last one is different than the others. Because the last ones, if you will, my God, doesn't end with a praise. It starts with a praise. All of the other songs of praise went through their sorrow and says, yet will I praise the Lord. But when you get to Isaiah 54, because of what Jesus has done, I ain't got to wait till it's over. I can actually shout right now. So I don't praise him when it's done. I praise him before it starts. Oh God, do I got anybody in this room that want to give God praise before the 7 days of abundance show up in your... Slap your neighbor high five and say, don't you miss your opportunity, babe. Something happens to people who decide to praise God before they get the victory. Oh, I feel an anointing in here. Woo, 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 woo. Ooh, my God. Come on, I got a few moments. And so the disgraced woman is praising God before they arrive to their destination. And the reason that they praise before is because they realize there's no longer any judgment against them. Because the judge has taken away the judgment that should be on the record that they're guilty. Because they know they're free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. They say, God, I'm going to praise you. Even though I'm crazy, I'm going to praise you. And what happens is that then, as they sing their song, read it for yourself later in Isaiah 54. The Bible says that they are rejected while they're singing. They're talked about while they're singing. But while they're being talked about and while they're being rejected, God is changing their nature and changing their moniker. In other words, the nickname that people used to use against you, they're going to have to find to call you something else, because the work that God is going to do on the inside of you will no longer relate to the name that they're calling you. They called you broke, but now you're rich. They called you sick, but now you're healed. I am preaching up in here. And so the image changes when the judgment is lifted. Look at your name and say, your image has been changed. You still see yourself as broken. But once the judgment was lifted, your image is different. You are now a new creation. All things passed away. You're not a hoopty no more, baby. You are Aston Martin DB7. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your name and say, you're looking at a Ferrari, boo. You have no idea who I am. Your image is changed. Your image has changed. Y'all give me 5 minutes here. I'll get you home. Your image has been changed. And so in Isaiah 54, the image changed from a barren woman to a ruined city. You don't like that image. So it's no longer individualized. You're now part of a collective, systematic problem. People no longer look at you as barren and distressed. They say the environment in which you're in is jacked up. I am prophetically declaring some stuff you don't even understand. And so, all right, I got to hurry up here. And so now they are a ruined city. And so in Isaiah 54:11, they're this ruined city that's been lashed by the storms and subject to tyranny and to terror and havoc and all of these things. Uh-huh. And as they are subject to all of this stuff, the Bible says they are now having the imagery of the servants of the Lord. And because they are the servants of the Lord, the promises of God will allow all of their havoc and all of their problem and all of their battles to result in something that could not have been there unless they went through. So he tells them in Isaiah 54, 15, and 17 that somebody can change your condition. And he lets them know that all of your battlement will become the battlement of rubies. In other words, what you have gone through is going to result in gold and jewelry and luxury being emanated from your life. All of the war-torn things that you've had to go through is going to result in getting something into your life that would not have been there unless you went through all of that havoc. And then he tells them, because you are the servants of the Lord, that no weapon formed against you shall be ever able to prosper again. That means once you come out of this, you ain't ever going back to it again. That's why he said that in Isaiah 54, that now from this day, no weapon, slap your neighbor a high five and say there is a place that you can get to in God that you never have to go back to the havoc ever again. And today is that day for you. This is your last broke day. This is your last oppressed day. This is your last. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's my last day being in havoc. It's my last day living in hell. It's my last. Oh, not yet. Five minutes. I gotta go. I can't preach. I gotta catch a train, a plane. I gotta get out of here. Five minutes. Watch this. Slap your name and say, my last day. No weapon formed against you shall ever be able to prosper. In every tongue, any name they try to call you, anything they try to bring back into your life, you'll rise up and condemn it and say, not so. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm more than a... Somebody shout, I'm about to declare who I am. Come on. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and... Declare. Just indulge me for a second and nudge your neighbor and say, I ain't never heard this preached like that before. I ain't never heard that. I feel the Lord in here. And so when you end in Isaiah 54, he lets them know that all of the hell you've gone through will no longer be able to find your life because the judgment has been lifted. Glory to God, I feel an anointing. And since the judgment is lifted, they will never be able to call you any name other than the name I gave you. And I gave you a name that is above every name that is named. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So that when you use the name of Jesus, cancer can't defeat you. And when you use the name of Jesus, debt can't derail you. And when you use the name of Jesus, sickness will not allow you. Slap your name and say, I got a name, baby. I got a name. It ain't your name. It's the name of Jesus. Because when you shout the name of Jesus, demons tremble. And when you shout the name of Jesus, all hell says, oh, wait a second. And when you go home and declare the name of Jesus, every devil in your house has got to get the hell out. You ought to go home and say, Jesus. Not only do I got power for the name of Jesus, it comes along with a bonus. I get to plead the blood of Jesus along with the name of Jesus. Okay, I ain't got time. Sit down. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I got 3 minutes left in my 5 minutes. Now let me bridge the context for you. Let me bridge the context for you. So now you have to realize, as we flip over to Isaiah 55 and we start getting into Isaiah 55, we see the judgment has been lifted. And now the people are praising God before they get the victory. And so the Lord then says, because you praise me before you get the victory and you understand the joy of your salvation, because I lifted the judgment that you should have had in your life, I want to send out an invitation to everybody that's willing to come. Slap your name and say, are you going to show up, sweetheart? Huh, God? Because you ain't got to be altogether right, but you can be altogether righteous. All you got to do is show up. But when you show up, you can't just show up any old kind of way. You got to show up with the joy of the Lord, because that is your strength. Slap your name and say, the joy of the Lord, that is my strength. That means he is more excited about my life than I am at this very point, because it's not my joy, it's his joy. So when we get into Isaiah 55, we now getting ourselves into an everlasting covenant that he set in order and in purpose. And so now, to bridge the context, you have to realize that Jesus uses the same intensity of an invitation when he gives the parable in Luke's gospel. And he told the servants to go out into all the roads, the country lanes, and make everybody come at once so they may fill the house. God has made all of the preparations for you so that when you show up, you ain't got to want for anything. Paul goes on in the same context in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 26 through 29. And he says, the mighty, the wise, and the nobles, the men, that God's ways and thoughts be made intelligible to them at first. But the lowly, the helpless, and the broken don't have to have it all explained to them. In other words, when you've gone through some stuff, and God says it's time for you to come up out of all of that mess, and I've removed the judgment from your life, now I want you to have joy and live. You don't need no explanation. You don't need nobody to break it down point by point. All you realize is it's time to go. Slap your name and say, baby, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. So watch this. And so in Isaiah 55, he says, tell them all that come. Tell them come. He says, don't worry about no money. You ain't got none. Come on. Come by, eat. Come by wine, milk. Don't worry about the cost. He says, you're spending money on stuff that's not going to satisfy you nowhere. So he says, give ear to me. Oh, my God. He says, give ear to me and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I was freaked out when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, showed me this. I mean, freaked out. So I'm about to twist your wig again. When I read scripture, I have to slow down because I parse everything. So every word pops off the page to me. And so I'm reading, and the word come to me kept jumping off the screen, the page, and the screen. I was on my computer. Come to me, come to me, come to me. And so I started to study that phrase, come to me. And I started to study it in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And I began to learn what it really means when it says, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I began to realize the etymology of that word, come. And come to me in that phrase. And when I looked up its meaning and definition, it flipped my wig. Ah, God, Lord have mercy. That phrase, come to me, means to jump for joy. Get your organ ready, son. Jump for joy. He said in Isaiah, I've removed the judgment that you deserve to get. You are no longer guilty, but you are set free. I have erased the nickname that people tried to give you, the stigma of your past. No weapon from this point formed against you shall be able to prosper. You don't have to wait to praise me for this victory. You can jump for joy right now. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to jump, baby. Last night, for some reason, I cut the TV on 3-something in the morning. And whatever channel it was on, like a Discovery Channel, and it was the world's craziest rescues. It was a flood in some country, and there was a group of people stuck in a tree. And they were clinging on to the tree, and the waters and the debris was flying by. The tree was their only safety. A rescue team came, pulled up, but they couldn't get to the tree directly. But the distance between the tree and the boat was short enough for them to jump. And they cried out to this little boy, jump, we gonna catch you. Mm-hmm. And the boy said, I can make it. So he jumped. Slap your neighbor and say, you better jump. The boy jumped in the boat and he made it. There was a girl in a tree, and they said to her, jump. You see, he made it. Some people will jump because they see others have jumped. So the girl said, I think I can make it. I'm going to jump. And she jumped. She didn't make it in the boat, but she made it in the water. But she made it close enough to the boat that they pulled her out of the water. Slap your neighbor and say, I think I can make it, but if I fall, the Lord will reach out with his saving arm and pull me to safety. Somebody shout, jump. I feel an anointing in here. There was one more person in the tree, too frightened to jump. And he said to himself, I can't make it. They said, two people have already made it. And he said, the person in front of me fell. And they said, but we pulled her out of the water. The debris is moving faster. And the water is rising higher. That's why Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Slap your name and say, don't miss your moment to jump. I feel the Lord in here. You're sitting there looking at me. You better get yourself ready. He said, the distance is too far. I can't make it. He said, come back for me later. They looked at him and said, man, there is no later. Today is the day of your salvation. There is no tomorrow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He waited and he waited because the tree to him was safety. But there was a crack in the tree that couldn't hold the weight of the man. Oh God, there was a crack in the tree. You don't hear what I'm saying? That couldn't hold the weight of a man. And the tree broke. And when the tree broke, the man went down, holding on to the thing that he thought was going to keep him safe. But that very thing was a weight he didn't need. Now he's drowning in the water. Slap your neighbor and say, don't miss your moment to jump. The water sweep the man away. The rescuers in the boat get on the radio. And they said, we lost one in the water. And they radio him back. And he says, where is the man? And they gave him the distance to where he was traveling. They said, he's going down in the sea. In the raging river, he's not going to make it. What they didn't know is that there was another rescue boat down the end of the rope, and the man let go of the weight that he was carrying, popped up to the surface, and they pulled him out of the water. Slap your neighbor and say, I don't know where you are, but baby, you better jump. And if you don't have the faith to jump, have the faith to fall. And if you don't have the faith to fall, have the faith to let go. But you... Somebody shout to God and say, jump, 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 jump. Jump for joy. Jump for joy. Hey! Grab your neighbor by the hand. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Say, you better get up out that seat, boo. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're in the balcony. They're all up in the balcony this morning. I don't care where you're from. I don't care where you think you are in God, salvation-wise. This is a prophetic exercise that when you jump, oh God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You're going to realize that the judgment that was written against you has been canceled by the great and mighty judge, God Almighty. And that the joy that he has in store for your life is the joy of your salvation. And you're about to experience life like you've never experienced life before. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. My God, peace will be like a river in your heart. Whatever you touch, it shall prosper. Slap your neighbor, say, it's a different life. On three. Oh, my God. Y'all, please don't make me miss. I got to be in New York. I got to do this. Then I'm going to run out. I'm going to still shake your hand. I love you. I want to meet you. I want to say hi. I do. I promise I do. But I got to do this. And we can't take forever. So look at your name and say, don't play with me. I'm counting on your jump. Listen. Here's why. Because if you don't jump, you are now a hindrance to my victory. And I don't need the weight. Look your neighbor in the eye and say, neighbor, I don't need the hindrance, but I need your momentum to get me off the ground into the life God has for me. And when we jump together, we're jumping into the blessing. We're jumping into the healing. We're jumping into the abundance. We're jumping into the supernatural intervention of God. On a count of three, jump. One, two, three, jump. You better jump for joy, baby. Woo! You better leave for joy. You better leave for joy. Ah. Woo! Somebody jump for joy. Somebody jump for healing. Somebody jump for victory. You better jump. You better jump. You better jump. Way in the back, you better jump. In the balcony, you better jump. You better jump. Woo! What you say, Mike? Oh God. Listen, I'm sorry, I'm messed up in the spirit right now, man. You better jump into a different life. Today, somebody's still jumping. They like, I ain't playing around with it. Glory to God. You better jump into a different life. Jesus did not come to to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Our salvation is the greatest joy that we have. It is not something that God holds over us to condemn us. That's what the law was there for. Jesus removed that and fulfilled the law. So all of the requirements that was necessary to get to God in the old covenant was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So that whosoever you are, who white, black, Asian, Latino, weed head, alcohol, crackhead, liar, cusser, fornicator, adulterer, I'm preaching murderer, better than y'all are shot, whosoever will believe on him has everlasting life. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm jumping today. Lift your hands and receive the blessing. May God bless you. May he keep you. If you're fearful to jump, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And jump into his arms. There's safety in the arms of Jesus. May his favor surround you. His angels encamp themselves round about you. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.